Festival with you here on 720 WGN. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We're live in the Allstate Skyline Studios high above the Chicago River. Joining us on the phone right now is Dr. Marcia Sirota. She's the author of the book Be Kind, Not Nice, and is jumping on the phone with us to kind of help explain the difference. I'm reading from here. It says, behaving kindly comes from an overflowing of self-love and self-confidence and means that you care about others but never neglect your own needs or feelings. It also means you have the ability to set boundaries with others, stand up for yourself, and you walk away from hurtful people. Whereas being nice means you're constantly trying to get others to give them love and approval in response to your nice actions. Good morning, Dr. Marcia. How are you?
I'm very well. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thank you so much for jumping on the phone with us. I know it is an odd hour probably because I believe, are you in Toronto?
Yes.
Well, thank you very much then for getting up early or staying up all night, like crazy holiday type thing for being with
us.
Yeah,
it's fun.
Explain, because it's funny, you know, in general life, I don't think I've ever, I can't remember ever saying, oh, they're so kind. But all the time we describe people as nice, I feel like. So does that mean that, am I misdescribing maybe people, or do you think most people tend to be nice instead of kind?
Well, I think there's I'm making a distinction very purposely between nice and kind, although I think a lot of times people use those words interchangeably, but I just wanted to use two different words to really stress that there's a difference between being someone who's constantly trying to get other people to give them approval and someone who's just a happy person and who is caring and altruistic, but also able to take care of themselves. So I call the people pleaser the nice person, and I call the person who is, like you described, the confident but loving person, the kind person, so we can understand that there is a real difference. And it all comes down to the motivations, right? So the nice person is motivated by this desire for approval and validation and love, and the kind person is motivated by, just like you said, this overflowing of positive self-regard, which also then goes out to others because they're so full that it just pours out and they're happy to do for others. But they know also how to set a limit so they don't overdo it. They don't exhaust themselves, deplete themselves, whereas the nice people don't know how to say no and they always deplete themselves, which is why they get, you know, upset, angry, frustrated, and turn to even addictions and self-destructive behavior because it's so frustrating because it never works.
So is the nice person, would we say, is not genuine then, or can they still be genuine in this line of thinking?
I think the nice person is always driven by an unconscious motivation, right? When we think about psychology, a lot of times we have a conscious awareness of what we're doing, but then there's an unconscious motivation, and sometimes they're the same, and sometimes they're cross purposes. So the nice person is always driven by this unconscious motivation to please. So They are perhaps a caring person, but that motivation to please always has an ulterior motive. It's like giving with strings attached. It's always giving to get, even though it's giving to get love. The thing that they're wanting is not a bad thing, but it's always giving to get, whereas the kind person gives because they're happy to give and knows when to stop. So I don't want to say that they're insincere, but there is an unconscious drive for something else.
You write, the pleaser wants approval more than anything else, so they'll sacrifice their wants of the moment for the possibility of receiving outside validation. But this is a difficult strategy because the people pleaser will never feel loved for just being themselves, so it will be harder to connect with others. And I know this is something, if we find in ourselves, we need to be aware of, but when it comes to workplace, when it comes to life and relationships, is this a person we need to be wary of?
Well, I think it's a person that we, you know, we don't really know because they're trying so hard and they're not being honest with themselves even in terms of what they're okay with or not okay with. They're just going to go along and they're going to placate and they're going to be, you know, super accommodating because they really want other people's approval. So you don't know them. I don't think they're dangerous people. I think they tend to attract predatory people because they're so overly nice and pleasing that the users we'll find them in a minute. But there is a dark side of being nice, which is that you don't get to know who this person is. You don't get to know this sincere person. And on their side, they never get to be loved for who they are because they're always putting on this persona of a pleaser. So they can't just be genuine and say, I don't like that. I don't want to do that. That doesn't make me happy. That doesn't make me comfortable, because they're afraid that someone will be angry at them or disapprove of them. So they can't be real, and they can't be loved for who they really are. So it's a sad thing. But I don't think that they're a hurtful person. I just think that they can get frustrated and they can get angry because they're constantly not getting what they need, and then they can maybe leak with sarcastic remarks, or they can get resentful. But I think they tend to be more self-destructive because they need to be nice. They need to please. So most of their behavior is going to be turned against themselves, unfortunately. It's a very unhappy thing.
Well, so
don't get happiness.
Sure, and the behavior is turned against themselves. But I guess then if you're in a relationship with somebody who is like this, is that somewhat doomed if you're not the same way, I guess, or able to, I imagine long-term then, while they're a people pleaser at first, and that would seem really great at the beginning of a relationship, over time, like you said, they'll be resentful or things will come to a head, I would imagine, on things that they're not happy with, and the other person in the relationship won't necessarily understand that because they never described what they truly need out of the relationship.
Exactly. So if you have two people in that relationship, that's what we call a codependent relationship, where both people are pleasing each other, and of course neither person is being really authentic. And yeah, I think that the problem when you're being a people pleaser in a romantic relationship or even in a friendship is that you're not being authentic, and so the person doesn't really know you, and you can't really show the person, you know, how you feel about things, what you want. So you're always going to be unhappy if you're the pleaser. And the other person isn't going to love you for who you are. They're going to love you for the mask that you're portraying. So you can't really feel satisfied in that relationship. So the person who's the pleaser can never really feel loved in any kind of personal relationship. And it's ultimately very frustrating. So they keep trying to please, but it never gives them what they want. And, of course, the answer is that they have to learn to love themselves and give themselves that validation.
All right, so here we are, last couple of days of the year, so we're all thinking about all the great changes we're going to make and the clean start we're going to have in a couple of days. So you said until they learn to love themselves, and that's, I think, a really nice thing to say, but how do you learn to love yourself? That's a very difficult task, I think, to tell somebody, well, you have to learn how to love yourself. How do we do that?
It might be difficult, but I think it's pretty straightforward. I don't think it's that difficult because really we have to recognize that everyone is inherently lovable, right? We are all decent deep down inside. We might have made bad choices or we might have, you know, done some, you know, foolish things, but we're all fundamentally lovable. So if we can just go back to that little child that we once were, that innocent little child, and just think of ourselves as that kid and go, you know what? There was nothing wrong with you. You were always lovable. And start there. And then forgive ourselves. We have to forgive ourselves for the mistakes we've made, use them as learning opportunities. And so if we've made some bad choices, we can say, all right, I've learned from it. I'm not going to beat myself up. I'm going to forgive myself, and I'm going to move forward and make better choices moving forward. And we have to have some understanding. If we've had difficult times, we have to understand that, you know, they're caused by maybe difficulties in our childhood. And we have to have a compassionate attitude. We have to not judge ourselves. So self-love can really come by doing all those kinds of things.
So it's really a mindset. We have to get ourselves in the mind to be willing to accept and love ourselves. It's not necessarily I have to do anything. I have to just come to terms and actually mentally accept and love myself.
Yes, and let go of perfectionism and really stop that negative self-talk, because when we self-criticize, it doesn't actually help us do better. It just makes us feel bad. But when we have a kind of tough love attitude toward ourselves where we say, okay, where am I going wrong? I'm not going to beat myself up, but I'm going to see the truth and I'm going to redirect, then we can develop self-love. And another great way, by the way, to develop self-love is to do good things, not to do nice things, but to, you know, be a good person in the world, contribute to your community, contribute to society, be altruistic, help your neighbor, do good things for your family. Obviously, don't do things to the point of depleting yourself, and don't do things inauthentically or insincerely, and don't do them so that people will like you, but do them because they'll make you feel good about yourself.
How much, so when we talk about the mindset, this leads me to another question. I'm sorry, it's a little off topic, but when we talk about people who are negative or who tend to be down or get down, and assuming they're not actually, you know, clinically depressed, mm-hmm. how much is happiness a choice? How much can we choose whatever we have going on, whether it's a tough year at school or, you know, a lot of bills and things at home or the job's getting me down? How much can we say, you know what, it is what it is. I'm going to choose to be happy and figure out how to make the best of this. Is that something we can actually just mentally will for ourselves?
I don't know. I don't know if happiness is per se a choice. I think we have a lot of attitudes that we can adopt and attitudes that we can let go, and there are definitely beliefs and expectations that we can change. But I think a lot of people have temperaments that we're born with, right? So I remember going to the newborn nursery and seeing, you know, babies who are 1 and 2 hours old, and some of them were calm and cooing, and some of them were wailing, and I thought, wow, these kids already have their personalities. They were born with a personality. So I think we have a temperament. So I think some people are more optimistic, and some people are more realistic, and some people are even more pessimistic. It's their temperament. Some people are more nervous, high-strung. Some people are more, you know, melancholy or depressive, and I think some people are just super bubbly and cheerful. So I think we all have our own inherent temperament, but I do think that we can shift attitudes. I do think we can, you know, change our expectations, and I do think we can build a better sense of self with you know, positive self-affirmation, self-forgiveness, letting go of that negative self-talk. So we can certainly feel better and do better in our lives. Happiness is a whole other topic, as you said.
Yes. Yes, I imagine it is. So we can sort of train ourselves, though, if we're not, for certain things to, it's sort of a mental calisthenics to get ourselves in a better place, to help ourselves, at least if we're not naturally happy or excited about things or whatever it is. If we want to be more of a certain way, we can help get ourselves there.
And there's a few things we can do, like spending time in nature really is very uplifting. Being a kind person is uplifting. They say that being altruistic and caring makes you happier than receiving. You know, giving actually, they've done so many studies which they show that giving makes you feel better than receiving. So being in nature, being altruistic and caring, doing mindfulness, you know, mindfulness and meditation, physical activity, physical exercise is a fantastic way to boost your mood, and creativity, anything creative, you know, whether it's singing or dancing, going to karaoke, taking a dance class, you know, doing art, writing poetry, you know, rapping, anything, all that stuff makes you feel great. So there are definitely things you can do that will boost your mood.
We're speaking with Dr. Marcia Sirota. She's the author of Be Kind, Not Nice. Dr. Sirota, I have a call I'm going to take for you, okay? Hold on 1 second.
For sure.
This is Mike in Crete. Mike, good morning. How are you?
I'm good, Matt. Thank you.
Thank you. You're on with Dr. Marcia Sirota.
Hi, Dr. Marcia. I just wanted to say I like that you're distinguishing between the two words. I think I grew up somebody who only knew how to be nice, and you get frustrated because you don't always get it back. And like you say, that's the ulterior motive sort of thing, but I'm older. And I'm learning to branch out, and I'm happy with an exchange in the grocery store that just doesn't have to go any further than beautiful. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Sometimes those little moments of connections are very meaningful. And you're right, you know, when you said that you don't always get it back, a lot of times people who are nice, they think that if they're nice, then the other person's going to be nice in return, but it doesn't necessarily work that way.
Thank you very much for the call, Mike. We appreciate it. So when that is not returned, how should we respond to that? Do we need to just get in our mind, that's okay, they, you know, some people just don't whatever, and just take the satisfaction from the feeling good that I was nice to somebody, and then if they're not nice, well, that's, you know, feel bad for them and move on?
Again, if we're being nice because we're seeking approval, it's going to be much more painful. Sure. When the other person isn't nice back. But if we're just being kind because we like being kind and it feels good to be kind, and the other person is rude or ignores us, then we go, oh, well, they're lost, you know, and carry on.
Okay, then I've got a scenario for you, and you need to tell me what my issue is.
Uh-huh.
So whenever I'm on the expressway or somewhere in a parking lot and I let somebody cut in and get in front, And I try to be good about doing that. And say at church or on the express, whatever, somebody, you know, it's a jam and somebody's trying to get in and you're like, oh, and you give them the little wave and they pull in. If there's no wave back, I'm bitter, Dr. Sirota. I'm not happy about that. I think there should be a little thank you wave. And then I get a little agitata about that. And I know I shouldn't, but I do. Is that because I'm being nice and not being kind?
Well, I don't want to analyze you, especially not at, 3:30 or whatever in the morning my time. But I'll tell you one thing. We have to do it because it feels good to do it. That's the kind person, right? The kind person feels good being kind, and they're not expecting anything in return. But the thing is, it feels good inside, and so you do get a payoff, but the payoff is internal. It's not external. The nice person always wants the external payoff. The kind person is happy with the internal payoff. And by the way, people tend to respect kind people more because the nice person comes across as looking a bit desperate and needy, whereas the kind person looks very confident and self-assured. So paradoxically, when we're out in a crowd, people are more kind to the kind person and less kind to the nice person because the nice person, they look down on because they see them as, you know, needing more. So, you know, in the car, no one's going to give you a hard time, but try to do it just because it's the right thing to do. I think more of us need to do the right thing just because it's the right thing to do. I was looking at a little photo the other day, and it said integrity is doing the right thing when nobody is watching,
sure.
Right? So
yeah.
Kindness is also doing the right thing when nobody's watching, and I think we should just do it because it's the right thing to do. And people will start to pay it forward. Not everybody,
right.
But more people will. The more kindness there is in the world, I think the more kindness, you know, will be developed.
Is it possible we're carrying a little bit of both? Because I do feel like when I wave them in, it's kind of out of the kindness of my heart, but then I quickly turn to, God, why wasn't there a thank you for that?
Yeah.
So maybe there's a little bit of both?
Yes, for sure, because there's like that child part of our psyche that's still looking for that external validation, and then there's the adult part of our psyche who's like, no, it's okay, I'm doing the right thing because it's the right thing to do.
And I just count to 10. That's okay. I just tell them myself as the anger rises. I did the right thing. Don't cut them back off. I'm just joking.
But then the next person who waves or who lets you go through, you go, okay, there's one.
And I make sure and I give that wave back. I say, thank you very much. That was very kind of you. Not nice, but kind. Dr. Marcia Sirota is the author of Be Kind, Not Nice. Are you on social media? Is there any way people can follow you or find more information about you, Dr. Sirota?
Absolutely. I have a website. It's www.marciasirotamd.com. And I have a couple of articles on my blog. One is it's called 11K Word Essay, The Dark Side of Being Too Nice. And if you go to that article, you can get a coupon, a 50% coupon for my online course called How to Stop People Pleasing Once and for All.
Oh, very interesting. Okay, Marcia Sirota, MD.com. We'll put a link up to that when we do the podcast, but MarciaSirotaMD.com. It was a pleasure to meet you. Thank you so much for coming on the phone. I hope we talk again.
Absolutely. It would be wonderful. Thank you so much, Matt.
Thank you very much. Dr. Marcia Sirota, again, the book, Be Kind, Not Nice, A Lesson for Us All. We're going to take a quick break. Got the news coming up on 720 WGN.